It's wonderful to be back here. I've been away for a little over 3 months. I spent 6 weeks in Burma on retreat and then another 5 weeks in Burma following the retreat, managing the Chaswa retreat that Ursula just mentioned. And then coming back, I just spent 2 weeks up at Spirit Rock. So I've had a wonderful 3 months of just complete immersion in Dhamma practice and Dhamma service. So it's been really lovely. But it also feels really good to be home and good to be here this evening. So often in our practice of mindfulness, we're focused on the hindrances in our practice, you know, the difficult mind states that come up as we do our meditation practice. And sometimes this can get a little heavy, and we can feel like this Buddhist practice, this is just about suffering. And I just want to talk a little bit tonight about some practices that the Buddha taught that were about joy and love. So I would like tonight to talk about the practice of metta, or loving kindness. Not only the practice, but the quality of loving kindness and how we can cultivate it in our lives. So this quality of metta is the term is a Pali term, and it's translated often as loving kindness, or simply kindness, open-heartedness, or unconditional love. And when I first heard about this teaching of the Buddha's, I was kind of skeptical. I felt like what they were talking about must be some denial of discernment and just kind of blocking out all of the bad in the world and just somehow pretending that everything is wonderful so we can love it. And this is not what it is at all. It really is simply an openness to what is, willing to have an open heart to meet whatever is happening. And this open-heartedness itself is the quality of metta. And this feeling of metta can be experienced in really simple ways, like just a simple feeling of kindness or of caring. Or as the practice develops, it can deepen to a very expansive feeling that encompasses a feeling of love for the whole world. The Buddha described that state in one of the suttas. He said that the experience of metta is one of pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. So the simple feeling of kindness is basically where we start from to cultivate this more expansive feeling. But it's really the same quality. They're not different things. They're not fundamentally different things. It's just typically when we are beginning to cultivate this quality of mind, we're still meeting this feeling through a lot of resistance, through a lot of difficulty in our own lives. And so it doesn't have the possibility to flower quite so fully. So metta, the quality of metta is one of the four, it's one of four qualities that the Buddha talked about that are called the Brahmaviharas, which means divine abodes. And these four qualities are metta, or loving kindness, karuna, or compassion, mudita, or sympathetic joy, and upekkha, or equanimity. And the first three of these, metta, compassion, loving kindness, compassion, and sympathetic joy, can be seen as the response of the open heart itself. So this heart that is open, this simple open-heartedness, that is the metta quality itself, the simple willingness to meet whatever comes. That's the quality of metta, the simple openness, connectedness. When that open-heartedness meets suffering, when that open-heartedness meets something that is difficult in our lives, the response of the open heart to suffering is compassion. And when that open-heartedness meets a joyful experience, when it meets something that someone or something that is productive of joy, the response is a sympathetic resonance to that joy, or mudita, sympathetic joy. The fourth Brahmavihara, equanimity, is what really allows us to flower fully into these qualities of compassion, loving kindness, and sympathetic joy. Because without this quality of equanimity or balance of mind, we're not going to be able to fully meet the suffering or fully meet and meet the joy without resistance. So really it's the equanimity that allows these qualities of the open heart to fully flower, to fully meet all of our experience. The Buddha talked about a number of benefits of metta, and I'm just going to read you this little bit of the sutta. It's interesting to read this, not necessarily the way we would think about this, but the blessings of loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness, when properly undertaken, 11 blessings may be expected. What, 11? One sleeps peacefully. One sees no bad dreams. One is dear to human beings. One is dear to non-human beings. One will be protected by devas. Fire, poison, and weapons cannot injure one. One's mind becomes easily concentrated. One's facial complexion will be serene. One will die unconfused. And if one does not penetrate higher, one will be born in the heavenly realms. By penetrating higher, it means to be fully enlightened. So these are the blessings that the Buddha talked about. But, you know, we can think of it a little more practically for ourselves. And one of the reasons the Buddha taught this practice was as an antidote to fear. It's a powerful way that we can work with some of these really difficult mind states, to fear and ill will, actually, both of those. The Buddha taught this practice as an antidote to those mind states. And I had an experience myself of how this works, how the metta is an antidote to the fear. One evening, I was flying back from visiting my parents. It had been right after the September 11th attacks. I had gone before the September 11th attacks, and my flight was due back on like the 19th or something like that. Right, it was like the day or the day after all the flights actually started up again. So I was a little jittery about flying. And I flew from Tennessee to Houston, where I was supposed to catch a connecting flight to California. And my flight got in late because it was delayed because of bad weather. And there were no flights left that evening to come to California. So I had to spend the night at a hotel near Houston Airport, George Bush International Airport. And in the middle of the night, I had been just watching a little bit of television, you know, just kind of in a hotel room, you know, and the power died. And, you know, I thought, oh, it's probably just the hotel. And it didn't come back on for a while. And I looked out the window and everything was black. It wasn't just the hotel. And I got a little bit frightened because my mind went into Papancha around the fact that this is George Bush International Airport. And what a great target for terrorists. What kind of a statement would that be for terrorists to target this airport? And so I went into a pretty strong fear state, imagining what would happen if there actually was a terrorist attack. How would the hotel deal with this? We'd all go into the corridors. We don't have any light. We'd be using our little watches for light. I mean, my mind just went nuts with this. I realized I was in a very strong fear state, and I started doing metta. I started practicing metta for myself and for all beings, starting first for myself, but very quickly for all beings. And I was surprised to find how deep and how quickly the metta took me out of the fear state. And the metta that I was experiencing for all beings was quite strong. And it was a little surprised by that because I thought, you know, the fear is so strong. What, you know, how is this happening? And in kind of thinking about it, because I wasn't able to keep the metta going continuously, and when that happened, the fear came back, and that was an incentive to start the metta up again. But as I did this, I recognized that the source of the fear and the source of the strength of the metta were the same. They were both wishing for the happiness and safety of all beings. And the fear was kind of a reactive response to feeling like this is not possible. It's not possible to have this safety. But the underneath that fear was not something unwholesome. It was something very beautiful. And the metta tapped into that deep wish for safety. And that, I think, is why it was so strong. It was quite a striking experience. So cultivating metta, there is the practice of metta itself, which I just touched a little bit in that story, because I was using a formal metta practice to help me connect with the feeling of metta in that time. But we can also cultivate metta through mindfulness. First of all, it's really helpful to become familiar with what this feeling of caring and open-heartedness feels like. So just being open in our day to when this kind of state arises. What does it feel like when we feel kind or connected to somebody else? Just check in and notice it. This kind of connection with others may happen more than we think that it does. So see if you can notice when it happens and connect with, oh, this is what it feels like. Bring some mindfulness to your experience. This is what it feels like in the body. This is how the heart feels. This is how the mind feels. You can also notice what gets in its way. There are, you know, two basic ways we can cultivate any wholesome mind state. We can notice when it is present and pay attention to it when it's present. We can also notice when it's absent and notice what kinds of mind states block that metta feeling. We could also notice some of the simple, very simple things that we can do to help this feeling of kindness arise. So, for example, some that I've noticed in my own experience, if I'm not rushed, it's much easier for me to feel kind or generous with others. When I'm feeling rushed, I'm feeling more me-centered and just, you know, got to do things for me. So just putting myself in situations where I'm not rushed, taking extra time so that I don't have to feel rushed when I'm driving somewhere. If I'm not caught in my in thinking, if I'm not caught in busyness of thinking, it's easier to feel that sense of connection with somebody. Another great thing to pay attention to, a way to cultivate the conditions for metta, is to see if you can consciously notice the good. Consciously pay attention to what is beautiful or what is good, particularly in somebody else. Bring it to your mind, consciously bring it to your mind, either for yourself, actually. Sending metta to ourselves can sometimes be challenging. And to start with a little reflection on, what do I like about myself? What kind things have I done? So reflecting on the good, both of yourself and others, can be a cause for metta to arise. And in fact, the Buddhist texts say that the proximate cause for metta to arise is seeing the beautiful, seeing the good. It's also helpful to follow through on simple acts of kindness if the inclination for it arises in your mind. You know, to just, rather than brushing it aside, you know, if something arises in your mind, like, for instance, sometimes when I pass a homeless person, I think, oh, I should give that person something. And sometimes a little fear arises around that, and I might want to push it aside. But if I can get through that and simply offer something to the homeless person, that's an act of kindness. So just if you see an intention towards something kind, let yourself follow through on it. You can also practice simple acts of kindness, actually decide some things to work with in your day. One of the ways that I have practiced this in the past, and it doesn't now feel like a practice anymore, it's more like a joyful celebration, is that I started smiling at the people that I met on my walk in the morning and paying attention to how I felt after smiling and saying hello to people. And it's quite amazing how happy that can make me. I mean, it's such a small, simple thing. And yet, I've been tracking how long that happiness actually lasts after I make one of these gestures. And it's not like I'm holding on to it. I'm just curious. Well, like, how long does this actually last when I smile and say good morning to somebody? And it's quite interesting. You know, the feeling goes from a feeling of real uplifted joy and delight through to a more of a simple happiness, through to a calmer feeling, until it eventually just kind of fades away into a more peaceful state. And it can last like a minute or a minute and a half. A smile, a minute of happiness. It's really great. I really encourage this. And then there is the formal practice of metta, which I want to spend a little bit of time talking about tonight. And hopefully, if we have time, if I can do this in time, I'd like to also have us practice it for a few minutes. So the Buddha gave some instructions on how to practice metta in the suttas, but unfortunately these were pretty advanced. This was, abide with your mind pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind filled with loving-kindness. Abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. Well, that's kind of challenging. I'm not there yet. But fortunately, the commentaries give us some more detailed instructions on how to actually practice metta in sort of smaller baby steps. And they suggest a very systematic way of cultivating metta, starting where it's easiest and then expanding out our limits to where it gets a little more difficult, a little more challenging, and further out until we're able to send metta to all beings. And one of the techniques that the commentaries taught about was to start with specific individuals. And this is a really great way to begin this metta practice because it makes it very concrete. You envision a particular individual and see if you can wish that person well. Very simple. Can you feel a sense of kindness towards them? Can you wish them well? And so starting with the specifics, specific people, it's very helpful because it helps us to see where we get caught. And, you know, we can sometimes have this idea of being able to wish the whole world well. But then when this particular person pops in our mind, well, everybody but that person, you know. So we really need to be very honest with ourselves about how we work with this mind state of metta. So as we work with this, we start small, and the commentary suggests that we start the place where it's easiest for us. And the commentary suggests that the place that's easiest for us to start metta is with the self, with ourselves. And it's been pretty well established that in this culture, that may or may not be the easiest place for us to start. So one suggestion that one teacher gave me at one point, it was on a retreat, and this was just an instruction he was giving to the whole room, but he suggested if we have trouble sending metta to ourselves, that we pick a being that makes us smile. And this was great for me. I picked my cat. And I could send metta to my cat. I had a lot of trouble sending metta to myself, but I could send metta to my cat. I could really wish my cat be happy, healthy, safe, and at ease. It was a natural movement of the heart. So that's where I could first begin to connect with this quality. So once we start with wherever it's easiest, we expand out from there to categories where it's successively perhaps a little more difficult, but still initially relatively easy. So it's starting from self and then moving to a benefactor, wishing a particular person in your life that has helped you, supported you in your life. It might be a teacher, it might be a grandparent, it might be a child, or it could be a pet even, again, somebody who you feel has supported you. From the benefactor, you move to a friend, a dear friend. And the benefactor often is actually pretty easy too, because there's often a strong sense of love and connection with the benefactor without too much of a complicated relationship. And when we move to friend, we start moving into the place where the relationship gets a little more complicated. And as we start trying to wish that person well, often what comes up is, well, I wish that person well, but I sure wish they hadn't done that thing to me. Or, you know, so there's some of that stuff can start to come up. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later. And from the friend, we move to a neutral person, someone we don't even know, and see if we can wish that person well. And then on to a difficult person, somebody that we have some active difficulty with. From there, we expand out to all beings. So this practice of metta is a practice of intention. It's a practice of wishing well. It's not necessarily a practice of feeling the metta right away that may come over time, but it really is the intention to wish well, to connect with that intention. That's the kind of core of the practice. And we express this intention through thoughts. So this is a really different kind of practice than mindfulness practice, where we try to let go of our thoughts. In this practice, we actually use thoughts. It's a reflective practice. We consciously think thoughts of kindness to help us cultivate this feeling or this intention towards kindness. So we repeat phrases of kindness in our minds as this practice of metta unfolds. And this is not a mantra practice. It's not simply saying phrases over and over again and getting concentrated and feeling good because we're concentrated on saying some phrase. I mean, if that were That kind of thing does work, and you can pick pretty much any word you want to say over and over again, and you will get concentrated, and there will be some sense of well-being that comes out of that. But this is not that kind of a practice. It's a practice to actually connect with and understand what these thoughts are. So as you say these thoughts in your mind, connecting with the meaning of the thoughts. There's some typical phrases that are used for this practice, which reflect four different aspects of this intention towards kindness. And the typical phrases that express these four different aspects are, and I'll say them as if I'm saying them to myself now, but they can also be expressed outwards to other people. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. And may I live with ease. You can play with these kinds of phrases, and you might want to come up with some of your own phrases, but it's helpful. Initially, I find it helpful to just start with these very simple, basic phrases, and over time, perhaps, expand them or find phrases that are more in line with your own feelings of kindness. And a key piece of this is to notice the may portion of the phrase. That's the real connection with the intention. May you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe, may you be at ease. It's not actually making a demand. It's trying to connect with the wish for well-being. Like that wish that I experienced at the airport. That strong wish for well-being. That's what we're trying to tap into. That wish for well-being. So the basics, or the mechanics, let's say, of this practice are first to connect with the person, the being that you're going to send the metta to. Connect with them in your mind in some way, either through an image. You may come up with an image of the person in your mind, or through saying the name of the person. Or if you're directing it to yourself, you could simply just connect with your own felt sense of your body. So connect with the being and say the phrases, understand the meaning of the phrases. Just over and over again, connect and express that intention. Connect and express that wish for well-being. There's one more piece of this that one teacher told me at one point that made this practice begin to work for me. Before I learned this piece of the practice, it was a pretty heady practice for me. It was simply all in the mind. It was all just thinking. But what this teacher suggested was to actually connect with the body while doing the metta practice. So to put the attention in the heart center, and after saying one of these phrases, you know, that's going to be a more mental thing, but come back into the body after expressing one of these phrases. May I be happy? Come back into the body at the heart center and see what the experience is then and there. So it made the metta an embodied practice for me. It allowed me to connect with the felt sense of changes happening in my experience as a result of saying these phrases. So this may or may not produce a feeling of metta. It may produce some kind of sadness or loneliness. It can produce all kinds of things. But simply to just connect with what happens as a result of this wish. So if you'd like, let's try this for just a few minutes. And I'd suggest, if you've never done this practice before, to start with self, we'll do it as a guided meditation on self. But if you've done this practice before and know that self doesn't work for you, pick a being that makes you smile and work with that being. So let yourself get relaxed and comfortable. It's really helpful in the metta practice to be as comfortable as possible. So as comfortable as you can be, let yourself relax. And start by bringing your attention to the area around your heart. Just the heart center. And just notice what is happening there. What is the felt experience in that area? There's no right or wrong. Simply what is happening right now. And now I'd like you to take a little bit of time to reflect on some good qualities of yourself. Think about some qualities that you like about yourself. And now, if it works for you to bring an image of yourself to mind, see if you can see yourself in a happy setting. Or, if you're not so facile with visualization, just connect with your body as it is right here and right now. So just connect with a sense of yourself. And start saying the phrases in your mind directed towards yourself. And I'll say them out loud for just a few minutes. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I live with ease. Remember after each phrase to connect back in the area of your heart and just notice what's happening there. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I live with ease. Continue saying the phrases to yourself, connecting with the felt sense in the heart center, connecting with the meaning of the phrase. And if you find the mind wanders, just come back to the phrases. So that is just the barest little taste of this practice. We don't have time for too much more, so I just wanted to give you a flavor of that experience. So just a couple of more comments. It's not a mistake if difficult or what seems to be the opposite mind states come up while you're trying to practice metta. I did a month-long retreat where I did this practice for a whole month. And I went through many different mind states, and anger and frustration and hostility and loneliness and rage and rapture and joy and happiness and love. It was just the wide range. One of my teachers on that retreat, Guy Armstrong, likes to say that this practice of metta is like running a metta magnet over the heart, and it pulls out anything that is not metta. So it brings it to the surface, and it's not a mistake, it's actually part of the purification process. So in general, the instructions are, if you can stay with the phrases through those experiences, that's the general instruction. Sometimes those mind states get so strong, however, that, like, for instance, with me, when I first started doing this practice, I would start the phrases and almost immediately would be in so much physical pain in the area of the heart that I just couldn't even remember what the phrases were. And so I had to switch out of the metta because I couldn't even remember what the metta phrases were. So at that point, it's helpful to move back to the Vipassana practice, to simply be with whatever has come up through the practice of metta. And as that loosens up a bit, then you can go back to the practice of metta. So it's not a mistake when these things come up again. It's just part of this whole process. Sometimes people have difficulty with this metta practice. I was one of them. And for years of my early practice, I could not do this practice. And I tried for a while, and at some point, I gave up. You know, it's like I just couldn't do it. And after some period of time, I began to realize that there was some opening around the metta, and I could start to do this practice again. But that opening happened through the mindfulness practice. So if you really find yourself up against a wall with the metta practice, that you just cannot do this, don't beat yourself up about it. You can just let it go. It's not necessary for the opening of the heart to do this particular practice. The heart will open in whatever practice that you are doing. And at some point, you may be able to approach this metta practice. One other piece that, in reflecting on good qualities about ourselves, how many found that difficult to do? That's great. Just a couple, yeah. For me, it was really hard. Like I would just run into this blank, you know, it's like, what do I like about myself? I couldn't think of anything. And so I made a practice of it when I went to bed at night, to consciously really work at thinking about it so that it got easier. And actually, at some point, it was like some door opened in my mind. And suddenly, it was like, oh, I see. There's all these things that I actually like about myself, all of these ways in which I have been kind. So sometimes there can be like this block that some part of our mind is closed to recognizing those parts of ourself. And if we can just make a conscious practice of that reflection, it can help to open that door. So there's a lot more to say about metta, but it is 9:00, so I'd like to let you all go if that's what you'd like. And I'm happy to stay for a few more minutes and just answer some questions if you'd like. So may the our practice together tonight be of benefit to all beings everywhere. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be at ease. May all beings be free. Thank you for your attention.